Last week, we talked about the kingdom. We talked about the proclamation of the kingdom and the rejection of the kingdom. We talked about the proclamation of the king and the rejection of the king. And so today, we're going to get into the gospel of God. And that is God's good news. And this gospel, or good news of God, follows the proclamation of the kingdom. In understanding this, you need to understand that even though the gospel, or good news of God, was now being taught in Acts, they still were proclaiming the kingdom. And this is a point that if you don't understand, you can get confused. But both were happening simultaneously. And in my opinion, if somebody doesn't teach you that, then you go in and read all of these references to the kingdom of God and the good news of God, the grace of God, and it doesn't fit. It's confusing. So I think it's good that we can get into it so that you're taught it and then understand it, understand the separation, understand how it's joined, and understand how it fits together throughout Acts and the rest of the epistles. It's really, really important. Paul was separated unto this gospel of God, or good news of God, according to Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So when you see the gospel of God, you know it's talking about God's good news. God was proclaiming something himself. This time period is supplementary to the gospel of the kingdom. We know that the kingdom of the gospel was first proclaimed by John the Baptist and then Jesus Christ. Both were rejected and both were put to death. Jesus Christ, however, was raised from the dead. Very important point. And the gospel of God has to do with a risen Messiah. It characterizes the ministry of Acts rather than the ministry of the Gospels. Especially Paul's share or part in it. And so, even though it characterizes the ministry of Acts, the gospel of God runs simultaneously at this time with the kingdom of God. Because John the Baptist proclaimed it, they rejected him, put him to death. Jesus Christ proclaimed it, they rejected him, put him to death. Now you'll see that the apostles were proclaiming it. But the gospel of God, or God's good news, was also being proclaimed. So God had both of those going on at the same time in the book of Acts. Not in the Gospels, but in the book of Acts. And so that begs the question, what was proclaimed in the book of Acts? The gospel of a risen Messiah was proclaimed as about to come and restore all things. Now this becomes really significant. And this was the burden of the apostolic proclamation during Acts. In other words, it's what the apostles were told to do. So it's the third time that this was being reproclaimed now. And Jesus Christ was known in the Gospels to have been raised from the dead. So now this is a re-proclamation of that. and also that he was going to come and restore all things. Now, that's not talking about the gathering together, the return. That's talking about if the people would have accepted the king would have come back. God would have sent the king back. And this is a very little known point. But nonetheless, it's true. And so I wanted to show you, and this isn't in your handout, but there's 8 verses that I want to show you in Acts regarding the kingdom of God. Because I want you to really understand that they flowed in parallel, simultaneously. And if you understand that, if you understand that the apostles were burdened with reproclaiming the kingdom of God, as well as the risen Messiah, then when you see the references throughout the epistles and including the book of Acts, it'll make sense. For instance, in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now here you have the kingdom of God being talked about in Acts. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. "But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." You'd have to ask, well, why is he teaching the kingdom of God? Because you know that the kingdom of God is different than the gospel of God or the gospel of God's good news, grace, and that whole subject. But they were actively teaching that. We don't teach that, though. And this is where people really missed the mark in Christianity today. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. But they did have the possibility. It wasn't until God told Paul to shut the door, to stop talking about it at the end of Acts, that they finally changed that message. But through the entire book of Acts, the entire Acts period, they proclaimed the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 19 and verse 8. "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning" what? The kingdom of God. Acts chapter 20, and then I'll start in verse 24 and read 24 and 25. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now that's what we read in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, that Paul was separated unto the gospel of God, which has to do with grace and the risen Messiah. Verse 25, "And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God," something different, "shall see my face no more." So now you can see the parallel. And both of them were being taught. Acts 28, verse 23. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging." We're getting into the end of the Acts now. Verse 23, "to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening, he was very serious about proclaiming the kingdom of God. Acts 28, again, verse 30, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And so those are the usages of the phrase kingdom of God in the book of Acts, and there were 8 of them. Now, you have the rest of these verses in your handout. I think there were 8, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, I only have 7 here. There's 8, yeah. And then I'll read a couple of these again as we go through this. Okay. So we know that the apostles taught the kingdom of God. That's indisputable. They firmly believed that it would happen. They firmly believed it. They firmly believed that the Jews would turn back to God and accept it. In Acts chapter 2, we know that they taught the resurrection. And this was what was proclaimed in Acts, the gospel of a risen Messiah, that he was going to come and restore all things. This was the burden of the apostolic proclamation during Acts. And you'll see this resurrection subject come up over and over again. And I wanted to go through those. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, or the gift of Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. They were teaching that he was raised from the dead. Acts chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. That's a fact we all are aware of. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that great grace was upon them all. Again in Acts chapter 4, now verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So we see this unveiling of that grace. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." In verse 32, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So they were teaching the kingdom of God, but they were also teaching Christianity simultaneously. It made me wonder, you know, what did they really think? Because they knew they were doing both. We don't even have that perspective yet, because this is kind of new. I mean, you probably haven't even thought like this when you read the book of Acts. But they were teaching both. And they're two different things. The kingdom of God. If the people would have accepted the kingdom of God, I suppose we wouldn't even have Christianity. But we were foreordained in God's foreknowledge, so it was going to happen. But interestingly, I just wonder what those guys thought, all the apostles, when they would be teaching the kingdom of God, thinking that Jesus Christ was going to come back and restore things. And then when they were teaching Christianity. But we also know that there was a great mystery there, and it was finally revealed. I don't really know the timing of that, but I just wonder, you know, how that tied together in the timing aspect of that. Because at some point, it became obvious that the kingdom of God wasn't going to happen then. And it became obvious that Christianity was the wave of the future. Well, Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." The kingdom of God. They were teaching the kingdom of God then. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil." So Jesus also proclaimed the kingdom. "For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." So we know that he was rejected. The kingdom was rejected, and the king was rejected. Verse 40, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly." So we see how they're bridging from the kingdom of God now into God's gospel or God's good news. And that had to do with the resurrection, the reproclamation of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "And showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of alive and dead. To whom give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's new, remission of sins. So you can see how both the kingdom of God and God's gospel are being taught simultaneously. they're bridged here. This is a great example of that. And now that you understand that the kingdom of God and God's gospel were being taught simultaneously, you can see it in here. Now these separate and there's no more confusion, because you can tell the subjects are different. It's always been that way, but now you know what that really means. How about Acts 13 and verse 23? Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. See, it was just to Israel. That's also quite interesting. But Israel rejected the king and the kingdom. And then God had them turn to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles were also welcomed into the kingdom. Not just Christianity, but into the kingdom of God. That was pretty big. But you'll see these things in here, his promise raised unto Israel. And it was that initially. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. This stuff is just laid out so clearly now. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, who do you think that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets. I just really am amazed at this phrase here. Because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. But they never got it. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. They didn't even know they were fulfilling the scriptures. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Again, fulfilling the scriptures. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer or allow thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's really something. Well, proclaiming Jesus and the resurrection was the burden of Paul's proclamation. That's what he was supposed to do. And that's what he did. He proclaimed Jesus and the resurrection over and over and over again. for instance, in Acts 17, starting with verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days, Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. So we see that Paul was teaching the kingdom of God, but he was also proclaiming Jesus in the resurrection. And if you take anything away from this tonight, I want you to take away these parallel happenings. The kingdom of God and God's good news. So we know that he proclaimed Jesus in the resurrection. Acts 17 verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" And some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, We will hear thee again of this matter. Yes, it's true about the proclamation of the kingdom. We've seen that now. And in its wider aspect, the kingdom of God. We'll get into the different kingdoms eventually. And then you'll start to see this really fit. You really have to take all of this that I'm going to teach you so that you have all the pieces. And then the puzzle comes together. But parts of it should be coming together already. Well, we've read this, Acts 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. What can you say to that? These guys were born again. They were not gathering together minded. They were kingdom of God minded. But they were born again. And so Paul was exhorting them to continue in the faith and telling them, look, you're going to have a lot of mental pressure, tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. If I started teaching that you guys are going to have a lot of mental pressure as you enter into the kingdom of God, you've got every right to throw me out, because that's not going to happen. You're not going to enter into the kingdom of God. That was stopped. But like I said, I want you to walk away with one thing for certain, that both of these subjects were being taught simultaneously. And it should really help you understand the word as you read it now. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. We've seen this already tonight. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. I bet you he knew those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that whole subject so well. Can you imagine? Why did he do this? Because it was God who had raised Christ from the dead, and this proclamation was being sent out by God himself. God wanted the kingdom of God still to be proclaimed. It was God's own special good news. He really wanted it to happen. It was of his own motion and will. And it was all of grace. Well, they had killed his son. But he still wanted it to happen. So he still had Paul and the apostles proclaiming it. If that's not grace, I don't know what is. And that should give you a new perspective on grace. Yes, we're under grace. But those guys, to get them into the kingdom of God, were under grace. Now that's all gone. The grace that we have isn't gone. But the grace that God has had for those people to get them into the kingdom of God was just amazing. If his own would now receive the Messiah, he would send Jesus Christ. Because he still wants it to happen. Acts 3. Verse 20, and that's what this is talking about. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. That's what it's talking about. If his own would receive the Messiah, he would send Jesus Christ so that the kingdom of God could be established. And one day it will be established. So this is going to happen then for sure if it doesn't happen before then. It's interesting to see these parallels because you really have to look at it from God's perspective. You got to look at it from Paul's perspective. You got to look at it from the apostles' perspective. And now that you see that they were running in parallel, the kingdom of God and God's good news, this gospel that really turns into the gospel of grace, you understand that the potential existed at any time for the kingdom of God to come into fruition. And the potential existed at any time, even though God hadn't announced it all yet, for Jesus Christ to come back to gather his saints. That's amazing. And until the doors were closed on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God put into abeyance, the pause button pushed, I recommend you go back and listen to that area of fellowship teaching because now it'll start to unfold. Well, the potential exists for both. Existed then for both, and I suppose even now, except that it is in abeyance, and I suppose in truth, it's not going to happen now. We have to wait until the prophecies are fulfilled, and Jesus Christ comes back, and then he comes back for his saints, and then he comes back with his saints, and he won't be rejected then. So there's really no truth, as far as I understand, in saying that, you know, it could happen still, because it really can't until that time. Now it's just the gathering together that could happen. The first part of the return when Jesus Christ comes back for his saints. And this is a point that Christianity does not get. They don't understand that there's actually two parts to the return of Jesus Christ. But that's what that means in Acts 3:20, and he shall send Jesus Christ. They were actively teaching that. If you guys believe, God's going to send the Messiah back. And then we'll be established in the kingdom of God. They really, really believe that. And I think it's integral to your understanding of Christianity that you understand why they were teaching the kingdom of God throughout the book of Acts. And I'm sure you have wanted to teach the kingdom of God just because you see it in there and didn't separate it. I know I did. But now I know that I won't do that. So in spite of all their sins and their heinous crime in murdering his beloved son, he would blot out all their sins and fulfill all his promises. Why? Because of God's grace. And that is the next subject we're going to get into. The gospel of God's grace introduced. That's it.